Hello and welcome to Bounty Hunt, a weekly breakdown of the latest episodes of Star Wars television brought to you by the Utini Podcast Network. I am one of your hosts, Oz. Unfortunately, Jacob is out this week, so I'll be in control, but I am joined as always by my co-host, JG, and we have two special guests this week. This week, of course, we are talking about the latest episodes of The Bad Batch, the two-parter of episodes 6 and 7, Infiltration and Extraction. We're going to give you our in-depth reactions and analysis. First, I want to let you know that this week's episode is brought to you by the Utini Patreon community. Check it out at patreon.com/Utini for a full look at what you can get access to by joining the United on Patreon. We've got behind-the-scenes videos, exclusive shows, and more, so come check us out. It's the best way to engage with our shows and community. Now let's jump into things. First off, in addition to JG, we are blessed to be in the presence of another one of Utini's Charlotte crew, and the youngest person I have ever met, Emma Park. Emma, how are you doing tonight?
Oh, man, what an introduction. I am doing great. It feels good to be back podcasting for Utini, and two really amazing episodes to talk about, too. So I'm looking forward to it.
Excellent. I think the rest of us are as well. But we also have a good friend of ours tonight making her Utini podcast debut. For the first time in a while, she and I are not going to be talking about Wolfpack or Dropout TV. We have Caroline. How are you doing this evening?
I'm good. Turns out there is more to my personality, and that Star Wars is a big, big part of it that just sometimes gets forgotten.
Yeah, well, we might be able to make an exception and find some way to work Game Changer into this. Sure. JG, how are you doing?
I'm doing well. You know, it's always, like I always say, it's always a good day when you have new Star Wars animation, and they are just firing on all cylinders right now.
Excellent. Well, I don't want to waste too much more time because, like you said, we've got some great episodes to talk about. So up first, we had Infiltration. Last week, we had some predictions because we knew we were coming into a two-parter. We were like, okay, this could be something big. JG, you were pretty adamant this was going to be Ventress, right?
You know, I there might have been, you know, or there was some, like, you know, some miscommunications or something with, like, weather and stuff last week. I don't know.
Yeah, you did get knocked out of your power, so we'll just blame that. But instead, we had a very clone-centric. I know the whole show is clone-centric, but this was a Rex's return. I don't think we'd seen him since season 2. I assume we're all pretty happy that he's back, right?
Yeah,
absolutely.
One thing that blew me away was like seeing Rex back and hearing his voice, and me thinking like, "Oh, it's so good to hear Rex's voice again." And then 2 seconds later, it was like, it is quite literally the same voice as the rest of the Bad Batch. There's something about Rex specifically that just, it feels really good to have him around.
Well, maybe the rest of the clones. The Bad Batch are the only four clones who actually do have distinct voices. Although I'm sure Dee Bradley Baker would happily tell you that Rex and Cody and all these others sound distinct. I would love to get his opinion on that. We not only saw Rex, we saw the return. We briefly see Gregor, who we've been waiting for, but he gets mentioned early on that Echo's going to pick him up. And of course, the hottest character in Star Wars is
Clone
Commander Hauser. Yeah.
Oh, I mean,
you're particularly excited by Hauser.
Oh, man. He is just, you know, it's funny. Eric and I were talking about this the other day. Like, he looks like every other clone because he's a clone. But it's the haircut that makes him hot. And that is kind of inexplainable.
I would argue the scars as well. I feel like that's a little bit to it, too.
That's a great point. Yes.
There is a lot to love about Hauser, and we'll get into him. But the episode actually starts, see Rex. He's in a cloak, but I think we all knew right away that it was going to be him before he took his hood off. We meet again two senators we haven't seen in a while. Was Senator Singh from Raxus, who made his debut. I looked into that. I thought maybe he predated the Bad Batch. He actually started in season 1. We haven't seen him since. And of course, the lovely Senator Chuchi, who we all know and love from the Clone Wars, and was here in season 2. What'd y'all think about bringing the Senate back into this?
Oh, it's so good. And, you know, as much flack as I give Andor, oh my goodness, this was giving me straight up some Andor, some Catalyst vibes. Like, oh, they were. This was actually my favorite scene of the whole two episodes that we got today, was this cold open with them. So good. I just love seeing how Star Wars is able to play the politics in this spot well, and while it is like the rebellion forming, we've seen that story so many times, just like Order 66, and they keep showing that to us, somehow they find new ways to be very creative with giving us the story of the birth of the rebellion.
Yeah, and honestly, like, the dynamic was really interesting too, because Senator Singh, you know, and Senator Tucci were on separate sides during the Clone Wars, but now they have to team up, and I love those types of stories, and we kind of see that paralleled a little bit too later on with Crosshair and Hauser kind of like on separate sides but now having to work together. So we love a good theme.
Yeah, it's interesting, like, when you think about it, like, the OT in the original trilogy were obviously rooting for the rebels, and if you extrapolate backwards, that's kind of the separatists, but they're like the bad guys. And now obviously the bad guy of the prequels is Palpatine, but it's easy to forget that, like, we like both sides because they're really both fighting against Darth Sidious. And so this is kind of, we don't get to see that enough, I feel like. And this was a great look at that.
I honestly think about that probably way too much because I really enjoy the politics of Star Wars, and it's kind of one of my favorite things about it. And so I think about all the time about, like, yeah, like, I'm sure for the Rebels, they, but then I go and I watch the prequels, those are kind of the same people. But yeah, really cool to see the two sides kind of come together. So it is, the rebellion, I guess, is something kind of new since, yeah, like you said, it's the joining together of the two sides.
Right. And I'd love to see more of the organization of the, I mean, we're seeing a little bit here, obviously Andor takes place a bit later, but, like, I want to see Mon Mothma in this time period. Really?
Oh my god, yes.
Yes.
What is it? The delegation of the thousand from the deleted scene of Revenge of the Sith. I think there's a lot to mine there. Also, shout out to Senator Avi Singh for having a sick mustache. I think we cannot forget to say that.
And did he have a monocle, or was I dreaming that?
Oh. I think he did. Yeah, I mean, if not, it looks like he should have.
Yeah, it would be very fitting for sure.
Also, I mean, he's the senator for Raxus, which is not just a separatist world. That is that was the capital
yeah.
of
oh, that's right,
of the Confederacy. So, like, he's not just some guy on the fringe. This is, like, he's a big deal. So we're getting a lot of political, you know, reorganizations happening here, and it just sort of shows how the Empire sort of effing everything up for themselves. But then there's an assassin, and honestly, I had forgotten about sneaky assassin dude that we briefly saw a few episodes ago. I don't know if this is the same guy that we saw guarding, because it turns out there's more of them. Were y'all expecting that to just be one guy, or, like, this is a whole new clone force, I guess?
I literally thought that was Ventress.
Okay.
I think I remember. I kind of forgot in the moment that this was a story point, but I do remember, like, thinking, like, oh, this is going to come back eventually in season three. Like, that's not just a one and done story. Like, they're doing something here with these, they call them clone X's, if I remember correctly.
Yeah, I did not remember that.
Interesting.
It was apparently identified in the subtitles in the original trailer, and now maybe has been in the credits, but
it's in the credits.
He is designated CX-1, AKA Sniper Clone X, which is rad.
That's, like, dope name.
Yeah, that I grew up in the 90s, and that's, like, what one of the characters we made at the playground would have been called is Sniper Clone X. Like, that's just really cool. It turns out, despite all the theories, we don't know who he is. But then another one gets introduced, and we can get into that later. But, I mean, there's a lot of intrigue going on here. And I think they made for great matches with Crosshair because they kind of fill the same role, right?
Yeah, and it seems like they tried to make Crosshair one of them and failed. But I want to know more about, like, how these clone X's were either, like, trained or enhanced somehow. Like, I wonder if it's kind of part of the experimenting with the M-count stuff, like a kind of a byproduct of that, or they did something else. I'm really curious about that.
It's definitely some kind of brainwashing. And I don't know if that's happening on Tantus, but Crosshair clearly knows a good bit about it and maybe even, like, went through the program.
Mm.
I think we've I don't know if we've talked about this, but I've seen discussion early on that the Bad Batch was sort of like the prototypes for Death Troopers. And I think maybe that's what we're seeing here.
I was about to say that,
Interesting.
And obviously, they've got cool new armor, so get ready for the new toys. I don't know if it's as cool as Death Troopers, but I like them. Like, I think they're great.
Yeah, it has just enough, like, parts of the clone trooper armor, like, in terms of the shape of it, to be a little bit recognizable, but the helmet's different enough to the point where you're like, oh, who the hell is that?
It's very unsettling at first glance.
Yeah. Creepy. His ship was creepy, too.
His ship
was
awesome.
Weird.
Very
That'd be a really good Lego ship, I think.
Which also, I always forget how cool the Marauder is, which apparently it's not actually called the Havoc Marauder. That's just what it was maybe mentioned as once in season 7. I don't know. I got really deep into the Wikipedia today, but because I call it the Havoc
Marauder. Any other name for you, Oz?
Yeah. That's just every day, really. So, in addition to the CX clones, now we meet back up with our friends, the Bad Batch, who are called in to finally team up with Rex. Did this reunion go how y'all expected?
I don't think so. Like, I was kind of expecting a little bit more of a warm welcome between everyone. You know, I was expecting for Omega to be excited. I was expecting Hunter, I guess, said hello, which was better than everybody else, but... You know, I would have thought they'd be happier, but still really good to see Rex, though.
I think the lack of warmth certainly, like, points to just, like, how tense everything is. Like, they seem to be very, like, focused on, you know, everything going on, and to the point where, like, yeah, they kind of don't have time for pleasantries, I guess. And so, yeah, it just kind of, to me, seem like, okay, yeah, they mean business and kind of business only.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's also worth mentioning that the last time Hauser and Crosshair crossed paths was not the most pleasant experience. So probably the thing we've talked about most on this podcast this year is Crosshair's redemption. And it's won me over. JG was on board from the beginning with him coming over to the good side. Hauser seemed a little more hesitant. And do you think that's fair?
I think so. Yeah. I think, like, not only just does it make sense for the relationship between the two, but I think also, like, from a storytelling perspective of the pacing of this arc, I think one of my favorite things about this season has been kind of how slowly that redemption is going. Because when you give people a second chance, they usually kind of have to, like, work for it a little bit. And so I think it only makes sense that it's a little bit of a slow burn.
Yeah, I agree with you 100% because, you know, the Bad Batch, too, were really skeptical about Crosshair at first, and it took them a second to kind of trust him again. And so it only makes sense that it would take Hauser, you know, that he would be more harsh towards Crosshair just because of what he did to him. So
I think it makes a lot of sense too, because I think a lot of, like, it just felt very realistic and very real how, like, things would play out in the real world. Because I think a lot of times cartoons in general can sometimes just rush into it and, like, oh, everything's all happy, life, like, we completely forget and there's no consequences. Mm-hmm. But for once, like, it's not, and it's showing the real, like, there are consequences to actions. And while, yes, there is a path to forgiveness, there is a path to moving forward. You know, that path could be long and that path could be painful and hard.
Yeah, I think it's, like, one of my least favorite tropes in TV shows sometimes, whether it's animation or whatever kind of show, is when you have a character go through something really intense and then they get over it in, like, one episode. It's like, well, what actually was the point? Like, are we going to actually have any growth from that or whatever? And so, yeah, I think it'll be for the better in the long run that the characters actually have a hard time with this.
And I think that's what makes Crosshair's story so interesting. Obviously, Star Wars is very much about redemption. It's, like, the core theme in so many Star Wars stories. But a lot of them, it's like Vader was the bad guy, then he killed the Emperor and he's redeemed. Kylo was the bad guy. Then he met his ghost dad and he was redeemed. But it all happened so fast. With Crosshair, we get to explore it for this whole season. Like, this season so far, if there's a DVD, Crosshair's on the cover. He's been kind of the main character, which is fascinating. The one character, though, I feel like who instantly bought in because of her childlike wisdom is Omega. I think all the little details, especially when on the ship, is one of the most fun parts of the show. Did y'all notice that she was chewing on a toothpick?
Yes. I literally wrote that in my notes.
And she was like mimicking like his hand gestures. Yes. Too. That was really funny.
He was so cute.
Yeah, she is just making the most of having like an ever-growing roster of dads around her, because she mimics each of them, which is a really great detail. I mean, once again, Omega is beating the allegations of being an annoying little brat. It's a tale as old as time, and I love it. Then let's see what comes next. The clones. Oh yeah, they got to go fight people because the CX droids. The CX clone has to come kill the other CX clone. That's where we realize, oh, there's more of them. And we get some really good action there, which is a lot of fun.
Yeah, you know what? I kind of kept thinking during that whole scene where the one CX clone was like sneaking into their base was like, how did they not hear the doors opening?
Or
that
like
was just my one thought.
Like lock the dang door. I guess if it's like biometric scanners, then he can get in, which would be a really big oversight for such a heavy universe.
What we don't know, it's a safe, quiet neighborhood. You know, you don't have to lock the front door. You know, you don't have to worry about that.
Yeah. In fact, do we know where they are? What planet they're on? I didn't actually look to see.
And I tried to figure it out. I couldn't.
Yeah, StarWars.com doesn't release their episode guides until Thursday, and we were recording this on Wednesday, so we'll probably find out in the morning. I thought the buildings kind of looked like Jabba the Hutt's palace.
I thought that too. Yeah.
I don't know if that was just like reusing assets or what, but at first I was like, "Are we on Tatooine? Like, please tell me we're not on Tatooine."
Imagine.
Oh, this is what I was going to say. Speaking of, we're going to backtrack a little bit, and we'll get back to the CX droid. They're not droids. The CX clone fight. Omega is mimicking Crosshair. The other two members that are just the same is our girl Batcher and Wrecker. They both get super excited about the food, the way they run off the ship. The Hauser and Crosshair fights going on, and they're just like, food. I love those guys.
Wrecker finally has someone to relate to. It's great.
Yeah,
now that Omega's paying attention to her other dads, he's like, oh, I need the pet.
I love that. I love that they have a family dog now. It's great.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah, maybe actually scratch that. Put Batcher on the DVD cover.
I agree with that 100%.
Oh, it would so.
And then as the episode comes to a close, we know that because the CX clone, not a droid, finds Omega, he calls in the Empire. And who shows up but our old friend Wolf? Were y'all expecting that?
Nope.
No, honestly, no. I was shocked. I was like, oh my God, it's like, you know, clone extravaganza this episode, like in terms of clones that we know, like big clones. Because I think also, I don't know, do you guys watch it with subtitles?
Yes.
No, I do not.
Okay, I do. And I noticed that they finally named Scorch in the subtitles, and they hadn't done that up until this episode.
Oh, that's the dude who ran out with the flamethrower?
Oh. No, the clone commando.
The clone commando.
Oh.
Did we know that was Scorch from like guides then? Because I knew that we knew that was Scorch. I didn't realize that he was.
I think that's just theater. Because like he was in Republic Commando and just had like the exact same armor. So I think we all kind of assumed.
Interesting. Okay, yeah. See, Republic Commando is not something I'm super familiar with. So when everyone was freaking out when he first showed up last year, I was like, someone needs to help me out with this.
I played Republic Commando on Utini Game Nights once. And so I knew it, like, because I had played it pretty recently. And I was like, oh, my God, it's all the Clone Commandos, you know, back in last season when they showed all four of them. But for some reason now we just have Scorch. I wonder where the other three went.
They're on an adventure.
Well, I mean, the way that we were going, we might find out.
Yeah.
I figured we would see Wolf by the end of the season because I feel like, you know, with everything that's been setting up and the little connections to other clone stories and kind of like this could be the final show that tells these stories. I wasn't expecting it in this very moment, but at least by the end of the season that we would see him come into the picture.
Yeah, I thought we'd see him this episode. That's what I predicted last week. I just didn't think he was going to be an Imperial loyalist. That was...
Mm. Yeah. But, I think...
Go ahead.
I was just, like, that was definitely the part that surprised me. I was, like, yelling at my TV. But I think it obviously makes, like, the eventual trio that we see in Rebels so interesting. And it kind of, instead of, I feel like, you know, usually if you're showing characters previously, you might get some answers as to how they end up all together. Now I just have more questions.
Yeah, I hope we get to see, like, how did that trio get together? Like, and how did they decide, you know, to hide away together? And I want to see that happen.
Because they're the last three standing by the end of the season.
Well, easy. That's dark.
I'm just saying.
I think it could be the last three of the main ones. Other than Kix, who, as I discussed last week, is still out there in stasis. But that is a deep cannon pull for another time. We've been looking forward to the three of them getting together since, I mean, what was that, almost 10 years ago? They showed up on Rebels.
Oh, wow.
So yeah. There's definitely potential. I don't know if we're going to see much of them, but I think we do see them right off to the sunset at the end of this.
I think we'll at least see how Wolf, like, gets away from the Empire. I would be shocked if they left that hanging. Yeah.
Yeah, that would be a really weird place to end his little character arc here. Did Gregor, speaking of the three of them, did he talk at all this episode, or was he just sort of with Echo when he picked him up? Was that even Gregor? I just assume it was because he was like, I'm going to get Gregor.
I don't know if he talked. Now that you're asking that, I don't think so.
Subtitles.
Yeah.
He wasn't listed in the credits, so.
Because in Rebels, he's kind of kooky.
Yeah.
So we still have to see that.
Maybe Batcher, like, gets so excited to see him, and just she tackles him to the ground, and he hits his head.
Gives him head That's trauma.
That's the most plausible explanation I have right now.
And you were calling JG dark for what he said.
Well, at least people don't die in this scenario.
Yeah, we just enter concussion protocol.
Yeah, exactly.
That's a good question. But Wolf, one last thing that I noticed with him, and then we'll jump to the next episode where things get really heated. He's still got his old clone armor on, which is kind of surprising, right? Like, why is that?
Well, it looks pristine, too, which I thought was interesting.
Yeah.
Does anyone remember why his helmet is kind of different? I don't even know if there's an explanation for that.
Maybe because, like, it's Dave's favorite because it's Wolf. I don't know.
Oh, yeah. No, his visor is, like, kind of small, though, right? Like, or was I just kind of imagining that? It looked really small to me, the visor.
I noticed it when I was watching.
You could be right. As I've mentioned before, the last time I watched through the Clone Wars, I told myself, I'm going to keep up with the clones and I'm going to know who's who. And that did not last. It's so hard to do.
It's a difficult task, yeah.
And I was just like, I'm not going to make flashcards, but maybe I should have. I didn't know I would be part of this podcast.
It's harder when you're colorblind too, y'all, because a lot of them go by the
colors and everything. Right.
And I'm like, you know, this is tricky, y'all.
Oh, shoot.
But yeah, it does look like his mask is maybe a little thinner. So I don't know about that. I don't know enough about armor and ships and that kind of stuff to, like, know the lore there, so that might be something worth looking into. But I just thought it was kind of surprising that the Empire, who has been all about getting rid of clone individuality, and, like, stormtroopers don't really do modifications to their suit, even though the clones are all about it, they let him keep that.
Cody in season 2 have his armor? I don't remember now for some reason. Maybe if you're, like, high enough.
I don't think yellow was really a customization. I think that marked him as a different unit of clones, which I could be wrong there.
I was just thinking, maybe if you're, like, high enough, you have enough seniority and rank at this point, it's like, okay.
That's kind of what I was thinking, was, like, maybe that was a way even that they, like, got them to stay around, or, like, enticed them to stay around.
Yeah, I guess they let Crosshair keep his armor. They paint
it. Yeah, because I suppose, like, if they go around making too many changes at the beginning, like, they're going to lose all interest of the clones.
Yeah, so on that note, let's jump to the next episode, which this is sort of jumping to the end, but we can bounce around. Wolf doesn't really seem to, if he is higher up, he doesn't seem to know what's going on, which is, I know, speaking towards the whole good soldiers follow order things, but, like, how is he this unaware?
I think it's just a lot of what we've seen from the clones so far, that we're still serving the Empire. You know, they think that at this point they're still doing their job. They're serving the Republic, or what they once knew was the Republic. And I think at this point right now, you know, that's what they were made to do, was to follow those orders. And so that is what they're still doing. But I think at least in Wolf's case, you know, we're starting to see that there is still some independent thinking that can still happen.
Yeah, and I think Wolf, like, genuinely thinks he's doing the right thing, because he seemed kind of surprised to see Rex, which I understand is because, like, he was reported as dead, but, like, I also think he was just surprised to not see him on the Empire side, because he, as to his knowledge, like, that's the right side to be on, quote-unquote. So I definitely felt like they did a good job of showing his, you know, consternation at, like, what to do, because, you know, he's being presented with two different sides and he really trusts Rex. So I really appreciate the way they did that.
And I think you got to remember too, that I'm sure all the clones and probably just all Imperial soldiers are being taught constantly that any defectors are, like, you know, enemies of the state, essentially. And so I don't think, you know, I feel like they are being taught how to think. And so they're not really able to, and Wolf in particular, like, he's not able to, like, kind of think about why the Bad Batch or whoever, like, might be doing the right thing.
Yeah, and I think there's a really interesting parallel with Crosshair, because I think it's Hauser who has the conversation with Crosshair that's like, why did you do it? And then why did you come out? And he talks about loyalty being a two-way street, which, if this was the Clone Wars, that I think would be the blue text at the beginning, something about loyalty.
Mm.
Because we also see that immediately Wolf is like, yeah, I mean, they're stealing this Omega girl, but also they're clones, so let's hear him out. Like, instantly he's questioning his loyalty.
Yeah, I thought he let them go pretty easily. Like, you know, he just told everybody to stand down, just because, I mean, Rex said you're hunting a child, and that was, like, all it took for him to, like, stand down. I was a little surprised by that.
I think it's almost also a testament to his blind loyalty to the Empire. He thinks that he can just let them go and that there's gonna be no repercussions, when we as the viewers know it's going to be bad news when he reports back.
Yeah, which, like, do they have, are they wearing body cams? Are they just going to lie? Because, I mean, we saw Hemlock fake some reports, so maybe that's what he's going to have to do.
I mean, I don't know if the other troopers are going to rat him out. I mean, like, you know, there's so many people there. Like, I mean, there's no way that this is not going to, like, be hidden. Like,
but maybe they're all clone loyalists too. Like, they're like brothers before bosses, or I don't, there's nothing good rhyming there. I should have prepped that a little more.
I would hope that brothers would put their brothers before bosses. That'd be horrible.
Right. Well, that's kind of how we got in this situation.
I know exactly.
They all had chips, whatever. But that's been a running thing with clones ever since. Who went crazy? Fives went crazy first. Anyway,
yeah.
Since the beginning of the Order 66 storyline.
Yeah.
They're having to fight it off. As far as other clones go, we've also got Hilo and Nimic, who I wasn't sure if they were legacy clones. They're not. They're from the Bad Batch. And I think they both eat it today, or at least Nimic died. So yeah, we got some red shirts.
Do you think that was an Andor reference?
Nimic? Oh, I knew that's why the name sounded familiar.
Yeah.
It's spelled differently, though. It's a C on the end in the subtitles in Bad Batch, and I believe Nimic and Andor is, like, with a K, I think.
Maybe that's where Nimic got his name. It's just a pen name for his little communist manifesto.
Oh, yeah.
This fallen clone.
This random clone who does not get like a spectacular death. He's not even doing anything super important, but that's his pen name. Yeah.
Yeah, man. It is a bummer always to see the clones die, but it's a very cool fight. There's a lot of action in this episode. The first one was pretty dialogue heavy. This one has some pretty extended chase scenes. What were y'all's favorite moments of that?
I think the whole thing with like just the whole episode, especially even with the first episode, but especially with this, the music and the lighting. And I know a lot of people are complaining about the lighting. For me, the lighting was not a problem, but like people are saying that it was too dark, like Battle of Winterfell dark. But
okay, nothing is that dark.
I did have to, it all. I did have to get up and shut my blackout curtains, unfortunately.
But the tone of the music and everything, like the whole episode, it was just so tense, and just the build up to leading to like what was going to happen. Were they going to actually like do what I had predicted they were going to do, like kill off a character? Like, were we going to get to that point? We got very close. And I think just the whole tension and build up was just delicious.
Yeah, you mean when you predicted a major setback, you weren't talking about Nimic?
I was not.
Oh my gosh.
I totally agree, JG. I think like the reason it like felt so good to be so tense in this episode was because of the buildup. It felt like all of the action felt very earned because we had spent that previous episode not having a lot of action. And so I really like that these episodes were released as a pair. I think they worked really well together, obviously, and I think they would have been weaker individually, if that makes sense. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, I think I just kind of enjoyed the overall action in the episode just because it felt really, really earned.
Yeah, and I guess I will say, like, the waterfall fight was so rad.
It was so cool.
Yes.
It was so awesome. I really thought that Crosshair was going to bite it. And I didn't expect Hauser to be the one to, no, it's not his time. I'm glad they didn't kill him off. There's still a lot of story left to tell. One of my favorite, like, super small moments, though, during this sort of, like, chase sequence is, you know, when they're in that tunnel trying to get out and Crosshair looks through the window and he sees the troopers coming after them. And so he tries to shoot them, but he gets really frustrated with his hand and he kind of like goes like, ah, you know, whatever. And then he attaches something to his gun, shoots it, and it's a bomb. And then the bomb just explodes. I was like, that is so cool.
Yeah, that sort of calls back to, I mention this every week, but the Crosshair and Cody episode where he does that sniper shot,
yes.
That ricochet up the stairwell. I think it's worth noting on that Crosshair in his prime would have messed that dude up. Like, this fight would have been over in 5 seconds. It was such a hard to watch him. It was like, I don't know, y'all are a little younger than me, but it was like watching Jordan play for the Wizards. It's like, yeah, he's still the GOAT, but he's not quite there. And that's what it felt like to watch Crosshair in this. He did, though, later, he sniped that pilot through the ship windshield, which was pretty cool. I mean, he killed him. Yeah. That dude's dead.
Yeah. He made sure he was dead, yeah.
But then, yeah, you briefly mentioned this. Hauser's the one who came to save him. So there's sort of that close, maybe, of his acceptance arc. I don't know if he's on board, but he at least didn't let him die, and that's pretty cool.
Yeah, I honestly think that he probably recognized that, like, hey, Crosshair's taking one for the team by drawing all their fire. Like, I mean, he took a really big risk by doing that. And, you know, putting himself before everyone else. And Hauser seems like the type of person that really respects that over anything.
Yeah, Hauser definitely. I mean, he's very much a clones first. He's clearly moved on from any sort of soldier-oriented loyalty. And now it's all about his family, which I think is what everyone's growing towards. Back to the Omega and Crosshair relationship. Like you said, Crosshair was like, I'm going to draw fire. And Omega's like, I don't like that plan, because she's just fully on his side. They also had a great moment where he's being very dad to her. And she's like, you're as bad as Hunter. And he goes, oh, I'm much worse. Like,
that was one of my favorite parts of the whole two episodes.
Yeah, he's playing off of Omega now. Like, he's fully part of the Bad Batch, right?
Yeah, I don't think we've ever seen him like josh around like that before.
Yeah, I don't remember if it was him or Wrecker. It was one of the clones when they first landed to meet Rex. They were like, oh, they don't look happy to see us. It's just like old times, right? Because they were always during the Clone Wars. So they're, you know, they're all getting along, which is good to see. And hopefully Hauser's fully on board now.
Looking at my notes here, actually, with Crosshair. Crosshair said one of the really good lines, which was the, he's talking to, I forget who he's talking to, but he's talking about how basically about loyalty. And he talks about how he realized why he switched was because his change of heart was because he realized how disposable he was. And I think that even harkens back to like what we were talking about with Wolf. I think Wolf just doesn't realize that he's just so disposable to the Empire at this point. Like, obviously, at this point, Crosshair absolutely gets the picture and idea that he is trash, but Wolf has not realized that. He's going to very soon, but.
Yeah, I wonder what kind of missions Wolf has been doing for the Empire that he's, I guess, not really seen the atrocities. I mean, I know the atrocities, other than the Jedi Purge, which they justified, are a little minimal at this point. They haven't taken over a ton of planets. They haven't blown any planets up. But they still seem kind of obviously bad. And so I don't know how Wolf is missing that. I wonder what he's been up to.
I guess we'll find out in a little bit, probably.
Or, yeah, hopefully there's like a good heart-to-heart between the named clones when they all get some downtime, if we get any downtime. And then the last thing, the episode ends with that sick waterfall fight. We've got the shadow clone, the CX clone, falls off the waterfall. He's dead, right? Wrong. So what do we think? At this point, whoever that is has been built up. Is he someone we know, or is this just another faceless clone in an armor?
I got played again because I thought the second person might be Asajj Ventress.
God damn it.
You really want Ventress, don't you?
I do. However, I really was like listening very closely to his voice, and it still really sounds like a clone. So part of me thinks that this is just a clone, but like, what if it's a clone we know?
I think it's 1,000% a clone we know, or else why would they like have that weird like voice modulation on him?
It's true. Like, who would it be, though?
I don't know.
There's some weird theories going out there, which I don't know if this is partially due to the animation, but the point whenever they're doing the whole like heat seeking, like through the heat scope or whatever it is, I think it's Crosshair. There's not a heat signature for the legs, so there's some theories that maybe a clone who maybe fell from a very high height, had some leg damage, has some prosthetic legs, is now being used by the Empire. So
this is like Merrick territory.
I was going to bring up that it's actually Barriss Offee in armor. No, that's why the way they're playing it really does feel like it's a clone we know. There's not a lot of those left. I mean, I know that there's a shit ton of named clones that we haven't seen in a while, but of the big ones, Tech does make sense. I really hope it's not Tech.
Yeah.
I think that would cheapen it a little bit.
I hope it's not Tech, but I will also say, even in this conversation, all day I've been trying to convince myself that it's not Tech. But even just the parallel of him falling from the waterfall, like, that's a big hint to me. And Star Wars Animation loves their hints. And obviously, they want us to know that, that he's alive, and focusing on that scene is he's coming back, whoever he is. And so it has to either be Cody or Tech.
Wow. I honestly didn't think at this point in the season that I would even be entertaining Tech possibly coming back. But like, we might be here. Like, I kind of thought if they were going to bring him back, they would have brought him back by now. But I don't know, maybe they'll throw us a little curveball.
Subvert expectations, I guess.
Quite a curveball. Yeah.
Yeah, I think you're right, though, Emma, that to me it would feel a little cheap. Because, I mean, that's so far the biggest climax of the entire show was Plan 99, where he cuts himself loose. And that's been such an emotional driver, which this is always, you know, I've been reading comic books for a long time. I have seen so many characters come back from the dead.
Mm.
And sometimes I get it. You know, you need to bring it back because you have a story to tell. But sometimes just don't. Like, especially with the clones, there are so many clones you could tell that same story with.
It could be Cody, you know, it could be somebody else that we really know. I think a way that you could justify it with the tech is that I think if this is tech, I don't think it's the tech that we know. Like, I think this is 100%, you know, he's had the damage, whatever's been done has been done to him. And they're going to have to realize that. And they are, you know, going to have to do things that are sad. And I will just leave it there because, you know, we're in a good mood, but I don't think it's going to end well. If it is tech, it's not going to be this hopeful reunion that everyone has been hoping for on Twitter and such. Like, I think this is going to be very tragic, very sad. They're going to get to say goodbye, but it's not going to be in the way that everyone wants it to be.
You know, now that I'm thinking about it, like, wasn't the way that Crosshair reacted to the news of them having captured one of those clones kind of weird? Like as if he might have seen tech while he was there. Like, now that I'm thinking back, I'm like, he reacted kind of strangely.
And they keep emphasizing that he's holding back some information. So yeah, he is holding something back, and we just don't know that he is.
Yeah, when they were interrogating that other one, he was like, shut up. Don't talk. You don't know what you're talking about. Don't listen to him. I don't know anything. So maybe, yeah. I don't know. I don't like it. But maybe I didn't want Crosshair to be redeemed, so maybe it could work.
I think for me, like, it wouldn't necessarily feel cheap just because I think there would be just yet another rich story that could be told. But I am having trouble thinking about, like, how similar it would look to Crosshair's story, probably.
Mm-hmm.
As far as, like, just one of them being on the inside and being a loyalist, whether they want to or not. But like JG said, I think, like, it could play out pretty tragically still. Which I think would keep it from feeling cheap, if that makes sense.
But, like, if it plays out tragically, what does that mean? Tech dies again?
they have to kill him. Like, yeah, I will put it black and white. The Bad Batch will have to kill him. Yeah. Like, Omega or Crosshair will have
what
to
if they kill him, down, but don't know who it is, and then they walk over and they pull off the helmet and it's Tech.
Hell yeah.
That's even worse than what I was saying.
And it's so dark.
Because that's an accident. I'm saying out of love. Like, they're putting him down, like Walking Dead style, you know?
He's not a zombie. I mean, he could be. Night Sisters. We've got Asajj coming. Speaking of resurrected characters.
I mean, yeah, the way they're acting, though, it's not like 100% like zombie, like Death Trooper vibe, but like they're acting very, like, look at the two that we've seen so far. They're acting very, you know, mindless almost, you know?
Yeah, and they use the word activated.
Yeah.
That's right.
Crosshair definitely makes it seem like they erased their minds, but he's just like, what does he say? Being defective has always been my thing or something like that.
Yeah.
That's why it didn't work on him, I guess. And you also, I've seen people notice, and I saw there's a bit of hesitation maybe when he's face-to-face, hand-to-hand combat at the end, like kind of like this possibly tech character doesn't want to kill Crosshair. I don't know. I think there's a good chance we're all reading too much into this. Carolina, looks like you've got something to jump in.
Just because, like, one thought I had separately from a tech theory, but it fits, is, like, this one CX clone clearly, like, is not super good at following orders either. Like, when he is running down, they literally say he went rogue, and he keeps, like, doing things his own way. And so it would make sense a little bit if, like...
That's a good point.
Yeah.
Mm. Oh, my God. You guys have convinced me it's tech.
Just to know, before today, I was at 0% that tech was alive, so...
100% agree.
Yeah, same.
Now I'm at 75%.
I'm at, like, a nice, lukewarm, like, 60%.
Yeah.
All right, well, with that, is there anything else y'all want to say about these two episodes before we get into some community questions?
They were awesome. Bring on Asajj.
Good mid-season finale.
Is there a break next week?
No.
Okay.
It's just we're at episodes. This was episode 7, and
okay,
there's 15 episodes, so it is a good ending. Sorry to scare you.
Yeah. But yeah, great episodes. So we'll move on here in a second. I just want to remind everyone that today's episode is brought to you by the United Community on Patreon. You can find it, of course, at patreon.com/utini. I got it backwards. Just a small taste of the bonus content you'll find there. I did, along with my Cosmic Force co-host Jacob and Caleb, a full commentary track for Empire Strikes Back a while back. So if you want to feel like you're watching that movie with us, you can find it there. There's also a 90-minute deep dive into the criminally underrated Servants of the Empire series that I was a part of. Check it out. But enough about me. Eric's also been doing some behind-the-scenes videos for all the content he's been making. You'll even get to see Emma in some of those videos. So Emma, tell us what else we can find on our Patreon.
Yeah, every week Eric makes a behind-the-scenes video to show our United crew everything that everyone here in Charlotte has been up to. And recently we posted a behind-the-scenes video getting ready for a big interview that we had with some higher public authors. So you kind of get to look into some behind-the-scenes things of sometimes some really crazy things that we do. So definitely check it out.
That's right. All right. So one last time, come check it out at patreon.com/utini. All right. Now I want to move on to some questions we got in our Discord. Some things people wanted to talk about. First from Pavement Fan. We already talked about this a little. He said, I see some theories that the main shadow trooper of these two episodes is Tech. Maybe it's Cody since he's AWOL and not reunited with Rex. What do you think? Obviously, we already covered that a little. So I wanted to add a little twist to this. Let's not talk about Tech or Cody. I want each of us to give our biggest clown face, pull from the deep depths of the bucket. Who could this clone be that would just shock the pants off of everyone? JG, it looks like you've got it.
No, absolutely not.
All right, well, I'll start off then because okay. There's one I thought of. We're talking about resurrected characters. JG, you mentioned that this character's got no heat signatures in his legs.
Oh, no.
That's right. You know who else has metal legs and is alive right now and is a bad guy?
Oh, God.
Darth Maul.
Yep.
So I'm saying we don't know what he's doing right now. Last we saw him was Siege of Mandalore. Next we see him, he's running Crimson Empire or whatever they're called. Maybe it's Darth Maul.
Darth Maul famously good with a blaster.
Hey, we've never seen him try, as far as I know.
That's fair.
Yeah, he doesn't want to show off his lightsaber yet. That's going to be my one in a billion prediction.
I had mentioned it earlier, but I'm still going with it. Merrick.
Oh, so this is not just a Merrick situation. That's Merrick.
That's my future Inquisitor.
That would be a hilarious lampshade by the Bad Batch crew to be like, yeah, I know your Merrick theory sucked, but guess what? This is Merrick. Like, we're going
to... And your CX clone theory sucks.
Yeah, exactly. They're
except
the same.
For mine.
Yeah. Oh, my God. That would piss me off in such an amazing way.
I know.
I wouldn't even be upset.
It's so bad that it's good.
I'll go with the one that absolutely makes no sense, but everyone's wondering, where is she? We already brought her up a little bit. It's not another. Come on down. Barriss.
Yeah.
Oh, not Barriss.
It's not a real character speculation if you don't bring up Barriss.
That's very true.
Does it make sense? It doesn't have to. It's Barriss.
I'm not gonna lie, I thought you were gonna pick a resistance character. I don't
know.
We're a little early in the timeline.
I'm about to say they're not boring unless we're talking about Doza, but
you know. All right.
No.
Caroline, what you got?
I think I haven't voiced it as much as Emma, but I was also really, really hoping for Ventress this episode. And I didn't get quite like fooled like Emma did. But like I could be convinced that Ventress is under a mask, 100%. She is an assassin, so though it's usually with blades, but who's to say? Maybe she's skilled with the blaster too.
Yeah, I think all of these are extremely unlikely. they're on the spectrum of unlikely. They're all pretty far to one side. I'm trying to even think of any like real theories who it could be. Ara Singh is still out there. I don't know that she's been killed by Beckett yet.
I mean, Cad Bane was in the trailer, but
I well, also that helmet is little, and he's got
yeah
Duro's head.
Or is that just his, or is it just his hat? I don't know.
Yeah, but he wouldn't be seen without his hat. Come on,
that's true. That's true. He'd have the hat on top of the helmet. We would know.
Yeah.
Watch it be Boba.
Boba Fett could be interesting.
That's not a bad theory.
But actually, yeah.
Yeah, dang. I don't think it is, but of these clown theories we've mentioned, that's the most plausible. Maybe I have to say this, I'm legally bound to. Maybe it's Zara Leonis.
Oh my God. Like
that. There's no way he'd go back to work for the Empire. Read Servants of the Empire. Okay, well, enough of that. But it's actually, it's going to be just a no-name clone, isn't it? It's going to be Merrick again, right?
Yeah. I mean, shouldn't we have learned our lesson from Ahsoka with Merrick? Maybe, but I don't think we have.
Are we going to? No.
No.
No, never.
That's fun.
Okay. Eric asks, do you think they'll have to rescue Wolf now that he's essentially betrayed the Empire?
Mm. I think they'll have to.
Yeah. So that there are, I guess the question is, are they going to have to get him out, or is he going to just run off like Cody?
Mm.
And
I kind of wonder if maybe he runs off, and maybe he's the one that gives them the location of Tantus, maybe?
He could try to escape after they try to make him into an ex-clone, and then they get him, and they have to, like, infiltrate Tantus, take it down once and for all, and then also rescue him.
That could be interesting. But yeah, I mean, we got to see Wolf get out, right?
I do wonder if we will see it, or if it will happen off-screen. So I'm trying to think about, like, the pacing of the season. Like
I think there would be a riot if it happened off screen.
We have to. If they can't show it in the season, make a movie, please. Make a Disney Plus 2-hour special, whatever.
Animated movie. We've only had the Clone Wars movie. We got to have the Bad Batch movie.
Yeah. I did mention last week that the next show after Tales of the Jedi season 2 is just going to be Tales of the Clones. And it'll just be randomly timed clone stories filling in all these gaps. So maybe that's where it'll happen. I guess if he just runs away, then I guess they can do that off screen. If he's just like, I thought about what you said and I came back, okay, fine. But I think that there's got to be some bigger ramifications for letting them go. I don't know. And then Eric follows up with, we mentioned this a little bit, will we see total clone eradication by the end of the season now that the Empire sees them all exercising free will?
We all know what JG thinks.
Yeah.
For it, everyone.
Sips tea.
I mean, I don't know. JG does make a good point, and maybe I tend to agree. We do know that, like, the Empire was really skeptical of clones and their loyalty, and that has been the case with all conversations of clones, even when, like, the First Order was considering clones. They didn't trust their loyalty, so I have a feeling that maybe it was just like, maybe once they figure out the M count thing, or if the project is compromised, like, they have zero use for them anymore. And so, yeah, I don't think it's out of the cards that they just kill them all.
Ooh. Do we know for sure if Jedha was the very first test of the Death Star, out of curiosity?
I guess technically no, but I would need to reread the novelization in Catalyst again, but I think that would
be... How ready is that thing?
It'd be a pretty dubious thing to work in. Well, Catalyst is all about them getting the Kyber to power it, so they can't test it before then. Maybe in between that and Rogue One, I would need to revisit.
Yeah, I'm not sure if a little super weapon is ready to destroy a bunch of evidence and a bunch of clones at the same
time. That's interesting.
Man, I would love to see Krennic again on that note. I know that that's a total side move, but, like, Krennic and Tarkin, we need to see them again.
Yeah.
Can you imagine Krennic and I've lost his name now.
Hemlock?
Hemlock?
Yeah, Hemlock. Can you imagine them, like, in the same scene?
That would be so rad.
Krennic would kill him in a second. It'd be
delicious. But they're also both just such little sissies, like, they put on a hard face and everything, but they're, like, deeply insecure,
right,
which is, like, Krennic's whole thing, which is why I love when Tarkin gets to put Krennic in his place, or anyone in his place. That's what Tarkin does. Yeah, he puts Vader in his place. Like, he's a badass.
All he needs to do is just rip his shirt off, show off those guns. If you listen, if you've read the comics, you know what I'm talking about.
There is an issue of Darth Vader. I think it's an annual, maybe, but where Tarkin tells Vader, try to kill me or like hunt me. And we see shirtless Tarkin, and dude is jacked.
He is ripped. And he's like around A New Hope age, so he's older. Like,
Well, and we also, I mean, we see him bring in the Inquisitor and Rebels and just like decapitate the two Lothal people. So, yeah, we need to see a Hemlock and Tarkin meet up, or a Hemlock and Krennic, or any just a little trio there.
I want someone to put Hemlock in his place.
Yes, I want that. And now that we've talked about Tarkin, I really want to see him do some badassery so that people that don't read the comics can also get the pleasure of witnessing that.
I don't think it's so clownery to think that Tarkin could show up by the very end of this, because he did open the show in the very first episode.
It's true.
So
it's true. Yeah.
I think it makes a lot of sense. The question, we're again veering even further, but do we see Darth Vader by the end of the show?
That would be awesome.
He is animated from Clone Wars, so yes.
Yeah.
Well, and also, I mean, as we saw with Clone Wars season 7, they're not scared to animate someone for a quick cameo. We got Grievous just for a previously on. Like, they made a new model for Grievous
that was crazy.
Yeah, it looked so sick. And like, I wonder if I'm not going to get into my thoughts about that, because that's a whole rabbit hole. But yeah, maybe we see Vader. But as for clone eradication, I mean, that's tough. There's 200,000 with a million more on the way out there, and I don't know how many have died. And also, the scale of 1.2 million clones is obviously not enough. So there's more than that. Plus, we see one in Obi-Wan Kenobi.
Yeah.
That's
begging
right.
for scraps. So they obviously don't all get killed. But...
So it's Rex, Wolf, Gregor, and
that
the homeless.
That one guy.
I think basically looks like a handful are going to like be out there. You know, like, no longer you're going to be around the kitchen table talking about, oh man, I wonder what the clones are doing. Like, no, the clones, just like how the Jedi became the stories of like yesterday, the clones are going to become the stories of yesterday.
Right. Yeah. It was just like, oh, you fought with my father in the Clone Wars? That's all anyone knows.
Yep.
This works as a transition to our next question. Maybe it ends with Order 67, which is like, kill all your brothers.
Whoa.
Shut up.
Good Lord.
Shut up. I thought I was the dark one tonight.
But it's just like all instantly turn on each other. Okay, but so Gia asks, does Wolf have the chip? And does the chip only apply to Order 66 or to all orders that the command gives?
Ooh.
I was kind of under the impression that it was for like all the orders, or even just like general compliance, which I don't know how that would work practically. But I bet Wolf still has his chip. I would be surprised if he didn't, because otherwise, like, if he didn't have his chip, I would think that he'd be able to see like, yo, the Empire is kind of sketchy. Maybe I should leave. So I think he does have his chip.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, at least in canon, the only thing we've seen it used for is Order 66, obviously. We know that they can disobey orders, obviously, because, I mean, Wolf does it here. In Legends, and I just looked it up, apparently this is a thing in canon, there were 150 general orders that were built into the chips. I don't think we know any of the other ones, at the moment, at least in canon. In Legends, there's a handful of them. Like, for instance, Order 4. In the event of the Supreme Chancellor being incapacitated, overall command falls to the Vice... Oh, that's a boring... That's just, like, bureaucracy. But there's a handful that we know. So, I don't think it's just, like, they have to obey everything. But there's 149 other orders, so I think one could be a contingency to deal with rogue clones. And then we really test the strength of will of these clones. We see if they can fight it like Rex did in season 7.
Right. And then it's like, how do you know, like, what is the criteria for determining a rogue clone? That'd be interesting too.
Oh,
I guess just because Palp said, get that one.
Get him.
He has a list and he's checking it twice.
Which, I want to end with another comics mention from Charles Soule's run on Darth Vader. There is a Jedi survivor who turns clones against Inquisitors by invoking Order 66, and because the clones then basically treat the Inquisitors as Jedi and try to kill them.
I forgot about that.
I believe that is Kirik Enfilah, who we recently saw in Shadows of Starlight. We're getting really gluppy now. So final, next week we've got an episode called Bad Territory. What do we think we're going to see?
Could be time for some Ventress, you know. I think she's coming sooner or later, Bad Territory. I will just say, I don't know if it's necessarily next week, but I will say as a result of this week, I did not think it was going to happen in this show at all, but because of the ending where they're like, we got to figure out what this M count is, I believe that by the end, we will see Miss Ahsoka Tano by the end.
Oh, my God. I'm sorry. I was making
Who else does Rex know?
I was making a hand motion of putting on clown makeup when he said Ventress. I would like to repeat it for Ahsoka. I would love that, okay? I would love it. I think that is... I will give you $100 if that happens.
I would shake on you right now. Okay. We're going to be seeing each other in a few weeks.
Yeah, Filoni is involved with the show. The possibility for an Ahsoka appearance is not low. I think it would be surprising, and it's certainly not happening next week. There's no way it's anything but like a stinger.
Yeah. It's going to be the kind of episode that like some of the more toxic fans call filler.
Yes.
So it'll be like the penultimate one is actually just, you know, like those two episodes of the Book of Boba Fett. These are just going to be Ahsoka episodes in the Bad Batch.
Well, hopefully not.
Yeah.
For me, it's like you have two candidates for how they're going to find out about M count. You're either going to have Rex is going to guide you to Ahsoka, which obviously he's in communication with, or we're just going to accidentally fall into Ventress, which very well could happen, but is also very boring and lazy in my opinion.
Oh, so you think Ahsoka is how we get to Ventress?
Yes.
Oh, now I think that's more likely.
Yeah, because I think Rex gets us to Ahsoka. Ahsoka then leads us to Ventress.
Yeah.
And then Barriss.
Sure. We're going to be fun and it's silly tonight. Yes. We'll bet a drink on it. We'll drop it down from 100 to
yes.
a drink.
That's fair. Okay, that's fair. I'll buy you a beer.
Caroline, what are we going to see in Bad Territory next week?
I know what I want to see, which is just more about these freaking shadow clones. I think, like, I certainly wasn't expecting multiple of them, and I wasn't expecting it to be kind of a whole new level of mystery. And like we've said, we're halfway through the season now, and so we have quite a few threads going at this point. I would like for them to follow the CX clones first, because it's the one I have the most questions about that feel the most pressing. Whether they'll actually do that, I don't know, but it's certainly to have my curiosities quelled. It's what I would like to see.
I feel like that's the most likely one to happen, honestly.
Yeah, I like that a lot. I would love to see them. Bad Territory sounds like maybe we're going into the Imperial side of things. So maybe this is Wolf going back and meeting with them, and then we learn about the shadows. We've obviously got the loose thread of tech or not tech.
We're seeing Fennec next week.
Ooh, all right, we're all on cameos. All right, well, any final thoughts before we bid this episode pair adieu?
Let's see who shows up next week that we can speculate about.
All right, and be sure to get your clown makeup ready, everyone, when all of our answers come false. But I think that's a great place to end things. Thanks again to the Utini Patreon for bringing us this episode this week, and everyone who is a patron for us. Remember that you can check it out at patreon.com/Utini. But that'll do it for this week's episode of Bounty Hunt. Thank you for joining us. If you're looking for other great podcasts about Star Wars, nerd culture, and sports, we announced a baseball podcast in our Discord today. Be sure to check out the rest of the lineup of the Utini Podcast Network. Come show us some support. Leave a review on Apple Podcasts or Spotify, wherever else you listen to your podcasts. If you're already a proud member of the United, thank you so much. And an extra special thanks to Brian Dooley, Carl Sander, and Michael Fry, as well as Raymond Bozinski on our High Council, and Captains James T., Ashley Ingalls, Colton Fife, Chris Caruso, and Sally and Chris Eilerson for their amazing support. Come join us on Discord, where we are continuing the conversation about this week's episode in Star Wars The Bad Batch channel. And a huge shout out to our editor, Kyle, for his excellent work in getting us out to your feed so quickly, as well as Wes for his Youtini Network support. Thank you to everyone who listened, and we will see you next week. May the Force be with you.
You've been listening to the Bounty Hunt Podcast.
Yeah? Good.
To learn more about other Youtini Patreon exclusives, visit youtini.com.